This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
We need Ryan.
This is me, Ryan. My girlfriend's in town. I want to go hang out with you. This is the Nintendo Show, the best Nintendo podcast on the internet.
Minus Ryan.
Yep. Ryan is not here. His girlfriend actually is in town. I didn't know she moved away. I don't know how far
I didn't know
she
they were still together.
He is super secretive.
He is.
What do we really know about Ryan?
I mean, he's actually a woman.
Like, he plays a ton of Diablo. That's all we know.
Yeah, he just plays a lot of Diablo and likes men.
Yep. That's why he's hanging out with his girlfriend.
It's, you know, it's called a beard.
But I actually have met her. So she is a person. And I met her twice. So either he hired the same person twice to...
Well, I have to be consistent.
Yeah. So, I don't know. She's
probably easy, because if you're going to hire somebody to do that kind of work, you want to hire somebody who's already familiar with the task.
Sure, sure.
Who's already done the role. She's well-versed. She's met the people, so she doesn't have to, like, oh, hi. Like, you know.
But we're not here to talk about Ryan's personal life.
No.
We're here to talk about Nintendo.
We totally could, though. Like, we could have a show just on Ryan's. Just on us making things up about Ryan's personal life.
We'll do a bonus show one day. Episode 100, decided.
He's a highly skilled scuba diver.
Yep. He has 5 pet snakes. But this is episode 88 of the Nintendo Show, the official show. This is the official show for the month of February 2018. This show is going to be posting on March 3rd, 2018.
Well done.
So, shut up. Shut your mouth. The month of March is a long month, so we'll kind of get back on track by being behind about a week here. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see what happens.
Actually, who cares?
But usually what we do on these official shows is we start out with a discussion of the news for the past month. I'm going to read a list here of all of the Switch games that were announced between today, which is March 2nd, and February 1st. So you're ready for it, ready?
All right.
Okay. And don't ask me about very many of these because I did not have time at my work
so
today.
So look up, ask you about all of them. Got it.
Fuck you. Hello Neighbor.
What's that? Oh, Hello Neighbor's coming to the Switch.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Cluster Truck. Cluster Truck is like Burnout with semi-trucks. It looks really silly.
Yeah, I don't really like that name, too. Like, that's...
Streets of Rogue, The Final Station... Punch Club, Party Hard, Labyrinth of Refrain, Coven of Dusk, Legend of K Anniversary, which is...
Fuck, darn, it sound a lot like the Wii.
Like, Legend of K is a game that, like, comes out of, like, everything. I don't like that, especially their Anniversary Edition. I have no idea. Like, this is like an action mascot platformer type game. Kind of like in the vein of, like a Ratchet and Clank kind of thing. But this game comes to everything. It's very weird. Pillars of Eternity 2, which is a really cool announcement. Like, Pillars of Eternity is like a really fun computer RPG. And the second one, I don't think the second one's out yet on any system, but it should be coming to the Switch by the end of the year, which is a really cool announcement. Attack of the Earthlings, At Sundown, Turtle Pop, Journey to Freedom, Bear With Me, Bear as in Raro Bear.
Oh, like Beware.
Mesmer, yeah, like Beware. Aqua Kitty UDX, Coffin Dodgers, Trailblazers, Urban Trial Playground, Muddle Dash, Shining Resonance Refrain. And this one, I'll take a quick side note. Shining Resonance is a game that came out on the PS3. Never came out in Japan, though, and Sega is bringing it to North America on all of the current gen systems during the summer. And I was actually really stoked for this when Sega announced this game. Because, like, the Shining series is kind of like Sega's Fire Emblem. You know, not nearly as refined nor as popular as Fire Emblem. But I was really stoked to be like, okay, look, we're getting, like, a really cool series of strategy RPGs. Since we don't know when Fire Emblem is coming out on the Switch just yet, just sometime this year, it'd be really awesome to get both of them. But it turns out that Shining Resonance is more of an action RPG in the vein of, like, the Tales games. So... Huh. Yeah, that kind of sucked the wind out of the announcement for me personally, because I've tried Tales games, and they're not for me. They're not my thing. So I was super stoked for this one until I actually, like, watched some video on what it actually was. And, you know, it's still cool that they're bringing it to North America, since the Shining series hasn't seen a release in North America in, like, a decade. But it would be even cooler if they actually did a strategy RPG. Castle of Heart, Liar Princess, and the Blind Prince is coming to Switch, as well as...
That sounds unfortunate.
Liar Princess and the Blind Prince. I do know a little bit about this one.
I mean, it's like the princess going, you know, hey, I don't have a beard, and then, you know, he has a beard.
Yeah.
And this
is,
he doesn't know because he's blind. Like, that's fucked up.
So this is a game... it has a really interesting art style, sort of like a sepia tone, and it looks kind of like almost like a hand drawn, like a wood carving kind of thing. Really distinct art style that's tough to describe, but they didn't show too much gameplay. But from what I gather, it is sort of like it seems like an escort type of thing where you're trying to lead this blind prince around, like maybe in the vein of like an Eco.
But you're supposed to lie to him?
But I think, like, the liar thing comes in that, like, the princess has two personalities. One is, like, her princess form, the other is, like, a wolf. And maybe some of the mechanics of the game will change, like, based on which one you are. I don't know. Maybe it's more of a narrative conceit. When the princess goes all wolf, maybe your controls will get all funky and you'll start leading in the wrong directions unintentionally. I don't know. We don't have too much information about this game other than the initial like release trailer, which was more of like a concept thing rather than showing actual gameplay.
Hmm.
Nippon Marathon, Nippon as in the name for the country of Japan that people from Japan actually call their country. So this one is a really weird one. This one is a racing game where you are racing on foot. And you're dressed up in, like, these really wacky costume character outfits. Because, you know, Japan. And there's, like, an old guy wearing a schoolgirl uniform. It's very strange. And what you do is you race, but then you can also knock obstacles down in the path where other people are going to... Like, if they're running behind you, you can knock them down. You can knock them down. Kind of like a...
This is weird.
Yeah, Super Smash Brothers racing sort of game. Yeah, it does look very strange. Zoids Wild, Spheroids, Pixel Noir, Moonlighter, Kate Must Die, Metropolis Lux Obscura. Oh god, I'm never going to be able to pronounce this one correctly. Achtung Cthulhu Tactics. For the King, Spin Tires Mud Runner, and Isla Bomber are all coming to Switch. And I probably should have written down the number of all these games that were announced, but yeah, tons of games were announced in the month of February.
They all sound like, or any of these, like, I don't know, they just sound weird, man.
All of these
sound super weird.
These are a lot of independent games, yes.
Are they, like, all eShop games?
Probably all of these, except for, like, Pillars of Eternity and Shining Resonance are probably eShop games, okay. Yeah. Which, you know, it's fine. But
yeah.
It's, tons and tons of games. And I'm sure we'll be getting more announcements for like a full fledged physical releases sort of thing, like longer experiences through the rest of the year, like at E3 and stuff. But anyway, let's move over to some other stuff. We got some nice Metroid Prime 4 rumors,
nice.
Which is really cool. It was rumored to be in development at Namco Singapore, which is a relatively new studio that didn't really have any games to their credit. At that point, now it's just kind of rumored to be developed by Namco, and even that is starting to become to come under some scrutiny. Like, is it actually being developed by Namco? Is Namco just assisting Nintendo? So basically, all the rumors that were flying around late in February, there's absolutely no substance to any of it. It's just like, hey, maybe Namco's doing it, but maybe not.
Who's made them in the past?
Retro, and
that's
Nintendo
right.
Themselves. Well. So, Nintendo, of course, did Super Metroid, as well as Metroid, the original, of course, and the game, and Metroid 2, and Metroid Fusion. And to that point, you had those original four, then you got into the Metroid Prime series, which, of course, released simultaneously with Metroid Fusion. So all the Metroid Prime games were done by Retro. And then you don't get another Metroid game developed by Nintendo. Metroid Fusion was the last one they did themselves. Because Other M was, of course, Team Ninja over at Tecmo Koei. And the latest one, the remake of Metroid 2, was done by Mercury Steam. So Nintendo hadn't themselves done a Metroid game, like internally at that their internal studios. I mean, like, Retro is their studio, but it's their American studio.
Mm-hmm.
It's not outside the realm of possibility that Namco is making it or helping them make it. I mean, they do work very closely with Namco for a lot of things. They collaborate a lot with them when making the latest Smash game for Wii U and 3DS. Mm-hmm. So, totally possible. They are also doing some updates to My Nintendo, their reward system. Their gold coins will now be sort of like a cash back sort of system where it works similarly to the Digital Deluxe program on Wii U when Wii U launched. So, of course, nobody remembers that because it was on the poor little Wii U. But basically, you get this eShop credit back every time you purchase a game, whether you purchase it physically or digitally. It does seem like you're going to get more rewards for purchasing a game digitally rather than physically. So we're kind of trying to push that end of it. But basically, like, it does have, like, this cashback aspect to it. To where, you like, for example, if you make a $50 purchase, you get 250 gold coins for that, which equates to about $2.50. So it's like 5% of what you spend, you get back in like eShop credit.
What can you do with that eShop credit?
Buy games on the eShop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But how it worked on the Wii U, they had this program for about a year. When you would buy a game on the eShop, I think it was about I think that was 10% when they done the Wii U, because you spend $50 and you get $5 back. But basically, you could only redeem it in those increments of 5. So
that's weird.
If you spent, if that program ended and you only had $2.50 built up, you just kind of lost that. But what they would do is every time you built up $5, they basically give you a code to add that credit into your account. So, you know, I probably got $20 or $30 out of that over the year that it was going on. It was pretty cool.
That's not bad. You get a little bit back.
Yeah. Yeah. So it will be nice to actually be able to use a rewards program to get games, which hasn't really been a very big thing since Club Nintendo shut down. But anyway, Nintendo announced a Mario Kart mobile game for your phones. It is called Mario Kart Tour, and there's really no other details about this. Like it's slated to come out by March 2019, basically the end of this of their next fiscal year, which starts in April. So kind of a big lead-in, especially for a mobile game. And actually, the one hope that I have for this game is that they do the same thing with Super Mario Run.
So it costs $10.
Yeah, so you get like one track for free, and then you have to pay to unlock the entire game. And I hope they do that, because people would be so mad.
Oh, it'd be so good.
That would piss off the mobile market so much.
They'd be so happy.
It'd be so funny.
Oh, man.
We did get some more details about the Mega Man Legacy Collection coming to Switch.
Cool.
Capcom had previously announced that they're both coming to Switch. But what they're going to do is they announced that they were both going to be available digitally. $20 for the Legacy Collection 1, which is games 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Mm-hmm. And $15 for Legacy Collection 2, which is 7, 8, 9, 10. Or there's going to be a retail edition that is going to be $40. So it's $5 more than if you bought them separately, digitally. So you kind of get like that retail tax. And I was actually really interested. Like, that sounded like a really cool thing to be able to have all 10 original Mega Man games on one cartridge. However, on the cartridge, it's just going to be Mega Man 1 through 6, and then you get a code for the digital download for Legacy Collection 2, which is the 7910.
Why?
Can you not fit Mega Man 1 through 10 onto a cartridge? Of course you fucking can. I don't know what the deal there is, I don't know.
That's so bad.
It's so weird. Because, like, that seems like it'd be really cool. Like, here's a Switch cartridge, and it has Mega Man 1 through 10, and I can flip between them as I see fit. Now, it's not that big a deal. Like, switching between games on the Switch is really easy, just to exit the menu, close a game out, and then start up another one. It doesn't take very long. But it's just like the concept.
This is weird.
Yeah. It seems like they're making it harder. I don't know. Like, I was really tempted. And I think we got a release date. I think it's May 22nd, last week of May. But And I was super tempted by this because the only other, like, there are two other high profile games coming out in May, and Tropical Freeze and Dark Souls. But if I were given, like, just buy one of those games, I'm just gonna buy one of them, and that was the only option. I was
gonna be Dark Souls.
I was leaning toward Mega Man.
Oh,
I mean, and you know, I'm not gonna double dip on Tropical Freeze. Tropical Freeze is a great game. If you haven't played it, you should, because it's really, really good. I'm not gonna double dip on it though.
I probably will grab it because I never played Tropical
Freeze. Oh, it's so good. Oh, we can play co-op.
Oh, look at that.
And
you're gonna be Funky Kong because you.
I'm gonna be Funky Kong because I don't want to die.
That's what I meant. Funky Kong.
And Dark Souls, you know, I'm curious about it, but I'm not that curious. I feel like I've played it because you talk about it so much.
Mitch has been playing it, and like Jeff and I will be playing like around the league, and then Mitch will hop on while we're in the middle of something. He's like, "All right, I'm gonna play a little Dark Souls 3.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're playing league and everything like that, I'm distracted because I'm like telling Mitch, like, "No, don't use that weapon. No, you gotta go that way. No, that way's the. Oh, careful about that boss coming up. You know, and things
is he,
like that."
Is he streaming it? Like, you can see what he's doing?
No, I can't see what he's doing, but he's telling me. He's like, "What is this thing?" I'm like, "Oh, you don't want to use that." Like, it's
no, stay away from that.
You don't want to do that. But then, you know, I'm distracted, and Jeff starts yelling at me. It's like, "Wes, you died again." I'm like, "I'm sorry, Mitch is doing something stupid." Like,
so yeah, I don't know. I mean, it might be a situation where during the months of April and May, there's not a whole lot of new releases that I'm going to personally get. So I might just take some time to catch up on a bunch of eShop games that I've skipped so far. I got a wish list of 19 games.
On the eShop?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that are out there right now?
Oh, yeah. Like,
what's a good eShop game? Because I flipped through them the other day, and a lot of them look pretty.
Oh, some of my favorites.
Other than Blossom and Celeste, those were given.
Blaster Master is really cool. The Azure Striker games, those are all on 3DS. I'm trying to think of Mighty Gunvolt Burst is a really cool Mega Man type game. Now, what are some of the other ones that I have? Now I'm totally blanking. I should just go run and get my Switch and grab it. Because the only ones I can think of right now are Snake Pass, which I didn't enjoy. Ukulele, which, I'm still kind of
trying that. I tried the 9 Parchments demo. That seems so boring to me.
Nine Parchments, I'm kind of... There are other things that are going to be at the top of the queue first.
Like, it looks fine, but who cares?
That game, it's really going to depend on how well it works in co-op.
I also tried... Oh, God, what was it? Like, Ocean something?
Ocean Horn?
Yeah, Ocean Horn.
That one's on my wish list. It does have, like, a very strong, like, Wind Waker vibe.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing doesn't, like, have, like, the depth of gameplay that a Wind Waker, of course, does.
I played the demo. It's not... You know, it's fine.
God, I'm totally blanking on, like, because I got, like 12 or 15 eShop games, and I'm totally blanking on all of them. But definitely, like, the ones you already mentioned with Celeste and Blossom Tale and Blaster Master.
I think those are, like, of the eShop games, those are the top of the list, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
They're both fantastic.
Like, if I could,
I'd buy a cartridge of those instead. Like, I mean...
Stardew Valley is super popular, if that's your thing.
It is kind of my thing. I do plan on trying that out.
No, hold on. How many times have you trashed Harvest Moon on this podcast?
Oh, no, Stardew Valley is a little different. It's a little different.
And then what's the other popular? Like Golf Story? Golf Story, I think, is moving up to the top of the queue of ones that I want to try.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, I'll go grab my Switch during the break and like, oh, goddammit, how did I miss this one? This one's so good. But anyway, one last bit of news. Blizzard.
Oh, God.
Blizzard sent out a tweet a couple days ago that... I didn't even, like, see the tweet.
WoW is coming to the Switch.
No. No, what they did was they sent out a tweet, and I didn't even, like, look at the tweet. I just saw, like, all these news articles. Blizzard might be teasing Switch or Diablo on the Switch.
That would be really interesting.
And... I paid no attention to it. I was like, oh, okay, I mean, that'd be cool for people who like that style game, but, you know, I'm gonna keep on playing my colorful children's games. I'm gonna go play Kirby. Today, at time of recording here, they clarifies, like, we're not teasing Diablo and Switch. People are reading way too much into it. And I then took the time, like, okay, what was the actual deal here? And they tweeted a picture of some Diablo characters, a little demonic-looking thing. then they were saying goodnight to people. They like had it posed by a nightlight. And people were thinking like, oh, that nightlight has a switch. Maybe Diablo's coming to Switch. And then I was like, God damn it. God damn it, internet. What the fuck is wrong with you? Jesus Christ. They had a character pose next to a nightlight, which happens to have a switch on
which,
it.
Which, and you think that's it's coming all to a nightlights fu- have Jeez. Switches. You just pull them out of the wall and they turn one off.
Like, oh my God. That's what got everyone into a tizzy.
That's so good. Oh my God. That crap like that makes me love the internet.
Son
like,
of a bitch. That's stupid. This is why I don't go on Twitter. God, just use your fucking... There was something similar that happened over a year ago before Metroid Prime 4 was announced, where Retro Studios, who we mentioned before, made all the Metroid Prime games. They tweeted out a photo and they were having like a company barbecue. And they were cooking prime rib. And people took that to like... They're teasing that they're making a Metroid Prime because they're eating prime rib. Like, just shut the fuck up. God damn it. I hate you all. I hate every single one of you. Because...
Here's a picture of somebody eating a cheeseburger. Oh, they're bringing Mayor McCheese to the Switch.
Mayor McCheese is going to be playable in Smash. it's so stupid. Well, one other thing before we close out the new section here. The Switch... I plan on posting this on March 3rd, tomorrow, at the time of recording here. And that is the Switch's anniversary. Mm. Switch will be 1 year old.
Wow.
As this post, yeah.
Man, that went quick.
Yeah. So, what do you think of Mr. Switch 1 year in?
I think it's done really well.
Yeah.
I think that is a... You can't really be too upset about that first year.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone in Nintendo is super happy as they're rolling around in their cash.
The only game I own right now is still just Breath of the Wild, but...
I mean, but still, like that's
getting there.
That is the game.
That is the game.
But it's been really impressive what they've been able to do with getting out all of these games because like it's snowballed really well, and they had a really great plan for software releases that has paid off really well for them. Because when the Switch came out, it was pretty much like, well, there's Zelda and a couple of eShop things and not much else. And then as the year went on, it's like, well, a couple of games have come out, they're really cool, but. I don't know what else is going to happen. Like, and by the end of the year, everyone's like, there's so many games. We can't play all of these games. So, I mean, it's been... We're kind of like getting a breather here. Well, at least I am, because all of the games coming out now for Switch, all the high-profile ones, are Wii U ports. So, these are games I've already played, so I'm getting a breather to catch up on some eShop stuff.
Which, for like 90% of the gaming community, they're going to be first-time plays.
Yes, exactly. For all but about 13 million people in the world, these are going to be first-time games.
Oh.
But you know, if you haven't played Tropical Freeze or Bayonetta 2, like, those are definite buy games. Like, it's good. Like, if there's...
When does Hyrule Warriors come out?
They have not given a solid release date.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm serious, just waiting.
That's another one. That's another cool one.
That's a day one buy for me.
That's the best Zelda game.
I cannot wait. What the fuck?
I'm going to say that every time we bring up Hyrule Warriors. Best Zelda game.
God damn it. You're going to make people stop listening to the show.
No, I don't mean it. I'm being silly.
But yeah, I can't wait for it. Great.
Yeah, it's a cool game. I think it's going to be, again, a fun one to do some co-op in because they'll have some enhancements. Of course, they'll probably run better on the Switch than it did on the Wii U in co-op. And then you'll also have some of the 3DS enhancements where you can actually swap between characters. But anyway, we'll get to Hyrule Warriors. Is there anything about Switch that you think could use some improvement? There is room for improvement. Like, for me, like the first thing that comes to my mind when areas they can improve is I'd really like them to improve like their activity log,
mm-hmm.
to have like some more accurate statistics about how much time you've put into games and when, and like what's your most played game and what game has like the longest average play sessions. And you know, those stats ultimately mean nothing. It's just vanity stuff, but it was cool. Like the 3DS did a really great job of tracking that type of thing.
Mm. I would say two things. One, a means to chat with people without your cell phone.
Okay. That's legit.
That's pretty silly.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know when I'll be doing online gameplay unless you and me randomly one day be uh-huh. like, hey, let's play Splatoon or something.
Hyrule Warriors Online.
Hyrule Warriors Online. The second thing, a means to stream from it directly.
Oh, that would be really great, too.
I think that'd be great. So we have an actual streaming thing. Jeremy bought a capture thing.
With what?
For his Switch.
No, with what money?
No, I don't know. Sold his body on the street for a night. Which, well done for one night. But his computers can't use it. His computers aren't strong enough to do it.
Oh, okay.
He needs, like, quad-core processor or something. They're a little laptop, so they
can't
do it.
No idea what that means.
I don't know. Something like that. But
you could have made that up. I
could have. He did a, I'm not clever enough.
He needed more teraflops. Shove all the teraflops in there.
But you can't do it. Use it. So, I mean, it'd be nice if they had their own streaming method on the Switch.
Yeah, and just native to the hardware. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be really cool. But anyway, why don't we take a break and then come back with some new releases?
Okay.
Alright, so of course I forgot a ton of eShop games. Like Snipperclips. Snipperclips is a fun little party game. Again, that's one that you kind of want to play in co-op in order to get the
it's
most out of it.
It's boring as hell by yourself.
SteamWorld Dig 2, though. SteamWorld Dig 2 is really great. Let's see. I also have, we talked about Tiny Metal. I wasn't a fan. Oh, of course, Resident Evil Revelations 2, which you don't really think of as an eShop game. But that's the only way you can get it. But, you know, I think...
I'm pretty sure I saw cartridges in my store.
You'd see it for Revelations 1. Revelations 2, yeah. But SteamWorld Dig 2, I think, is the big one that I neglected to mention. That one's really great. But, the Fall 2 Unbound is an eShop game. This is probably worth your time. And that one came out on February the 13th. And the part 1 was on the Wii U, as well as some other systems. And that's where Wii U is where I played it, and it's sort of a take on like the old point and click adventure game, kind of like Myst. Except it also has like these cover shooter elements to it, where you would duck behind things. And actually, and there's not really too much cover in the Fall Part 2, although there are some sections of it. But it's mostly just like lock on and clip a few things with some bullets. And actually, the combat, you do have the choice between like having a stronger or a lower emphasis on combat. And I'm more interested in this game for like the puzzles. So I turned like the combat to like the lower tier and just focused on getting through the game and doing the puzzle aspects of it. So sometimes in these sort of adventure games, you come across solutions by just like spamming your items. So like in many adventure games, you go through it, you examine your environment. There's text that you read through to pick up little bits about what's going on. And
Which you skipped over all of them?
No, actually. Huh. Actually, because in this game, like, in order to know how to interact with your environment, you do have to know where things go. Because in, like, many adventure games, you do pick up items. And sometimes, like, these items are like, intangible ideas. Like, you pick up information, and you go around, and, like, you interact with something using the information as if it's an item. Like, you interact with, like, a computer and something, and you input a code. Or you feed information into it in order to get something back. But, I did finish the game. I played through it till the end. And there are some really cool sections where it's not so much about, oh, you found a rock. You need to put the rock over there in order to be able to lift the idol so the boulder doesn't chase you down the hallway.
All right. Let's reference that randomly.
It's fine.
Let's pull that out of your ass.
Just roll with it. So I don't want to give away any, like, actual solutions to puzzles in here. But one of the cool things that The Fall 2 does do is, like, sometimes the puzzles are...
It was a bag of sand, by the way.
Yes, indeed it was. I actually didn't intend to make that reference until I was halfway into it. I was like, okay, we're just going to follow through. So sometimes it's not about, like, using an item. Sometimes it's, like, more procedural. Because one of the first things you have to do is sort of divide it into four different sections, like chapters. One of the first things you do is you go through, and there's this butler character, and he does the same routine every day when he boots up, and you have to find ways to break him out of his routine in order to access more areas in the little mansion that he's working in. And it becomes more about how you disrupt his environment in order to get him to stray off his path, which is a really interesting take on the formula. And especially toward the end of the game, it does kind of fall into the same traps of an adventure game. Like, okay, you have this stash of items. They do a pretty good job of, like, having it be logical what you need to use where. But sometimes you just kind of, like, spam. Okay, I can interact with this. I'm going to try all my items on that, see if I get anywhere. Okay, I'm going to try all my items on that, see if I get anywhere. Hmm. Which, you know, it's something that happens. I think they had most of their really good design ideas early on to where that wasn't necessary, that you just kind of spam that way. But I don't think it's a huge detriment on the game. Now, something that I did notice about the game is that I encountered a couple bugs, which is unfortunate. I encountered a bug in that, or a couple different bugs, in that I couldn't proceed because certain things weren't spawning correctly. For example, without getting into spoilers, I was wandering around an area, and I had examined everything, I had read everything, and I didn't have any, like, items in my inventory that I could use. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do. So I did consult an FAQ, and I was like, go, and it pretty much told me, go over here, you'll find something you can pick up. And I went over there and wasn't there. So I turned the game off and turned it back on, and the item was there. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happened later on when it was more of like a procedural thing. I was supposed to do something, and then I would get a little cutscene after that, which would allow me to proceed to the next area.
And then the bug was they lowered you on a volcano and then proceeded to tear your heart out.
Precisely. And what would happen is I would interact the way I was supposed to, and nothing would happen. And I nothing was happening in the game, so I consulted FAQ, realized that when I did this, so, like, there was supposed to be a scene afterwards. I was like, okay, it's doing this again. So I had to shut it off, shut it back on, did the same thing it was doing before, and then the cut scene ensued. So a couple of unfortunate things like that, and especially in an adventure game, where it's like the little bits of feedback that you get are so crucial to allow you to continue. Like, if some random people on the internet, because there really is not a whole lot of information about this game, because it's new and it's pretty niche. If not for a couple people on the internet who put together, like, these videos and FAQs, like, I could have just been wandering around. Like, I probably would have given up on the game, because, like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I probably would have turned it off and not, like, gotten frustrated, turned it off and not gone back to it for days. And then never realized that it was the game doing something wrong as opposed to me doing something wrong. Because days later, probably would have turned it back on, looked like, oh, the thing I needed was right there in front of me. How did I miss that before? The point was, I didn't miss it before. The game didn't have it there before. I had to shut it down to make it appear. I think, like, something that they do is that in adventure games, a lot of times it's tough to find a balance between puzzles that are too hard or too easy, things that are just, like, too blatantly obvious, and things that require these huge leaps of logic. And I think that they do a really good job of relying on these visual cues that they give you. Again, I don't want to get too much into spoilers, but there are things that will happen as you're moving throughout the game that your environment or the character you're interacting with will become noticeably different unless the game has that bug. And I think they do a pretty good job of having a balance between hard and easy here, to where you're always being able to make progress when the game is letting you, and you don't ever feel like you're getting too bogged down. There's a good sense of forward momentum. And I am trying to dance around things without getting into too many puzzle details, but I like it. I do like that you can discard a lot of the shooting elements if you're not interested in that and just interested in getting the puzzles. I think that's a very nice idea. I think there's a good balance to the puzzles. There is a decently heavy focus on narrative, but it involves robots, so it's automatically more interesting. So there's that. The main thing for me is that the hard reboots that I had to do in order to get the game to function properly is a problem. Hopefully they're able to do some patches and get it to be a smoother experience, because it's not long. Like, I probably spent maybe 4 or 5 hours in the game.
That's a really quick one.
Yeah, which is nice, because especially after games like Xenoblade and Mario, it's nice to be able just to, like, boot up something and beat it over a long weekend, you know? I think that the game may overstay its welcome a little bit. There's what, like
4 hours?
here's the thing, is that
this game's too long already.
The game is in four sections, and again, I'm trying not to give anything away because it is a puzzle game.
I've hinted that I was tired many times. It just doesn't have the names.
there's four acts to the game, and by the time you get to that fourth one, they do this really clever thing where you're swapping between characters, and each character interacts with their environment slightly differently, and sort of the ways they interact start to cross over between characters, and this is a really clever idea, but it is a really long section of the game, and because you have to swap back and forth so often in order to get everything clicker, like, by the time you get to the fourth act, you should be, like, full steam ahead. It should kind of be going downhill from there. And instead, it gets bogged down because, and again, spoiler free, there's one particular section where you're in a small room and you have to do 7 things in that room. And just the constant swapping back and forth makes it kind of drag on a little bit. Okay. So if it takes, like, 45 minutes to get through that fourth act, if they were able to cut it to, like, 30 minutes, I think that would have been very beneficial. But anyway, I do recommend this game. Maybe wait for a patch to have it run a little bit smoother with things spawning correctly. But I think it's definitely worth a try. Other games that came out this month. Dragon Quest Builders came out on the 9th. Owlboy came out on the 13th. Aegis Defenders also on the 13th. And Mercenary Sagas on the 13th as well. The Longest 5 Minutes also on the 13th. This is all when The Fall 2 also came out. And on the 13th, Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology came out on the 3DS.
Oh.
3DS game.
Wow.
So I'm in Chapter 6, sort of. It's tough to describe because it is a split timeline game. And Each timeline is also split up into chapters. So you might be in chapter 1 in the prime timeline and chapter 2 in the alternate timeline. You kind of flip back and forth. And the game requires you to flip back and forth because there's something that's going to happen in chapter 1, which will allow you to proceed further into chapter 2 and the alternate timeline, for example. So, and this is the furthest I've ever gotten in this game, because I have played it before on the DS, never finished it. And I've talked about it before, I don't know if I entirely blame Pokemon for not finishing this game anymore. Because I did always seem to get distracted by Pokemon anytime I try to play this game on the DS. There would be a new Pokemon game coming out, I'm like, okay, well, I'll finish this later, and then never go back to it. So, I've probably quit this game 3 times. I'm real close to the end, so I'm not going to quit now. The battles start off really great. They have a really great use of strategy, because your enemies are in a grid, like just a simple 3x3 grid, and your party members use different techniques in order to like stack them all together, so that when you push one enemy into another, the next attack that you use will hit them both. Provided that, like Final Fantasy X style, it'll tell you who's going next.
Okay, so it's got the combat, the turn order.
Right, the turn order. And if you have, like, your character is going 3 turns in a row, you can push enemies into each other, so then the last person who attacks will attack all the enemies that you cluster together. And different enemies will occupy larger sections of the grid. So if you can knock around a very large enemy, he'll kind of like scoop up all of the smaller enemies into his vacuum.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it is really cool early on in the game because it allows you to finish battles very quickly. So once you kind of figure out how enemies are going to occupy the grid when you initiate combat, you're like, okay, well, if I use this technique, then this one, then this character can do this thing, and I can win this battle in one turn. But then about 10 hours in, that goes away. Because
okay,
what will then happen is that you'll get into encounters where your turns are split up. So as opposed to like all of your guys moving, then your enemies will have a turn. You'll have one character go, then one enemy, then one of your characters, then an enemy, then one of your characters.
And they're moving around and ruining your progress with that.
And what you're not able to do is stack enemies together and get those multiple hits in. So battles for about 5 hours, to about hour 15, battles become a total slog.
Now, is there any kind of like enhancement things like haste or anything that can make your characters go in a row?
There are stat buffs that you can use, yeah. But really your best bet for getting your characters to attack together is try to initiate a surprise attack. Which, like in many RPGs, if you do like a little melee attack to an enemy that you see in the field, they'll get stunned, you can initiate a battle, and you got a decent chance of doing a surprise attack in which you got some moves to initiate the battle. Doesn't always work, though, which is frustrating.
Yeah, something like that with the mechanic that good. They need to have it work whenever you hit, because you went through the effort to get the attack off, so.
Yeah. So, once I got past, like, the hour 15 mark, which I think was, like, chapter 4, I'm at about 20 hours right now, and I'm getting into, like, I'm in chapter 6 in one timeline, and chapter 5 in another. So things do a pretty good job of, like, staying together like that. But the battles have come back around to where, even if I'm not initiating a surprise, I'll have a pretty good chance of having some attacks clustered together. So I can start using strategy again. And I can start using things like enemy elemental weaknesses again. One of the cool things about it, though, is that characters don't have typical classes like you would think of in an RPG. Most of your characters are pretty proficient with melee or magic, and there's different sort of elemental magic, but a lot of the character's value comes in the different sort of positional attacks that they can do. Like they can hit everyone in the front row, or they can move enemies around so they stack. So every character has their value in battle without being like really strict into roles. Like you are a mage, you are a healer, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Everyone can do a multiple things, but they're different enough to where in some situations you're going to want a party that's formed this way, and in other situations you're going to want a party that's formed another way. And everyone levels up. Everyone levels up as you do battle, because a three-person party system, and I think you get a total of 6 playable characters, but everyone will gain experience as long as they are like recruited into your party at the time, because there are party members that come and go. But of course, the ones that are in battle are going to gain experience a little bit faster, but the game does a pretty good job of, you know, as long as you're at a decent level compared to everyone else, you're going to be fine in battle. It's more about the strategies, which is, again, one of the frustrating things, like when they start breaking up your turns in the middle of the game there, like, it doesn't let you do that strategy. Hmm. When the strategy is much more important to the battle than pure brute force. Let's see. I mentioned levels. There's not a ton of grinding that you have to do. A lot of the grinding that I ended up doing was incidental, because there's this bonus section for the remake here, where you go through like this small dungeon, and it's like 3 rooms right now, so it's not very big. And as you complete chapters, more sections of it will unlock. And what you do is you get a special currency there, which will allow you to get special equipment, but you also level up in there. So as I was just trying to get like some special equipment, I ended up gaining a few levels.
Oh, that's handy though.
Yeah, so levels are not hard to come by in this game. Money is scarce though. Like, cash is really tough to come by. Like, there have been times where I've finished a section of the game without having gotten all of the optimal equipment available in that section. And then I'm in a new chapter of the game and there's even better equipment available. I'm like, I haven't even been able to afford the previous set of equipment.
How are you going to afford that one?
Right. So there have been times where I just kind of like skip over certain pieces of equipment. Like, well, I guess I didn't get that one. I'll just save it for the next one. So I don't know. Unless I'm really missing something, cash is really hard to come by. You don't get a whole lot of cash from doing battles. So it's not like the game is wanting you to grind for cash.
Is there a prostitution option?
Not that I'm aware.
Just whore off some of your characters for a little bit. Be like, well, I'll see you guys in the morning.
Send them on a merc mission, quote unquote.
Yeah. This is very important. You're
I have not discovered that mechanic now. I mentioned a little bit of the structure of the game earlier, where you have the alternate timelines. There's a narrative split at the very beginning of the game. There's 2 timelines you switch back and forth from. You learn skills in one, they're useful in the other. Some of the skills are pretty important throughout, but then there's 1 or 2 skills that you learn, you use it, and then you never use it again, which is kind of a bummer, but you know, it doesn't really get in the way. The game isn't so much about like out-of-battle mechanics, like in a Golden Sun. In Golden Sun, your out-of-battle mechanics are just as important as your in-battle mechanics. It was really fun.
That was really cool what they did with that.
Yeah. But in this game, first of all, the little areas that you move through are much smaller than I expected, or than I remembered. So Final Fantasy X is another good example here. You have like the world map, and you move through it just kind of like in dotted lines. You know, you're not like freely roaming around this world map, and then you enter the sections, and then like, hey, you're moving across the Besaide Road. Or, you know, whatever the areas in Final Fantasy X were. It's similar to that in Radiant Historia, where you move around the world map and then you enter a specific area, and that's when you're getting into your battles and stuff. Some of these, like, and none of them are really particularly vast. Like, I remember this game, like, being almost confusing to move through in the DS version. I don't really think they've changed anything, because most of the environments look familiar and things are generally where I remember them being. I just think that games have gotten so much bigger that now it kind of just seems quaint. Like they're 6-screen forest area. Like, oh, it's so cute and little. but anyway, not really a detriment to the game. Just an interesting thing that I didn't remember it being that way. But now, like I guess in retrospective, things looked much bigger back then than they really were. But again, like I don't think like the draw of this game is going to be on like the exploration or your out of battle mechanics. Like the primary draw of this game is going to be like enjoying like really strategic battles, and then also the narrative. Because again, much like The Fall 2, pretty strong emphasis on narrative. in this game. And it's not a bad narrative. Like, it is really interesting because it involves time travel, so it's automatically more interesting.
And a giant headache at the same time.
Yeah. It is interesting to see, like, the flipping back and forth between the two timelines, because they do affect each other, and things you do in one does affect the other. So it is fun to see, like, the sort of literary gymnastics that they have to go through in order to keep things moving in the plot. So yeah, like, if you like an RPG with a really strong story, I think this one is an easy recommend.
That sounds like my kind of game.
I should loan you this after you're done with Zelda.
Oh, you have an actual cartridge?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I bought this one for Zelda.
Oh, look at that.
Yep. But yeah, so...
Well, after Zelda, then I got so many other games. I got Xenoblade, and I got Mario & Rabbids.
Xenoblade's so good.
I got Odyssey, and man.
They did...
I don't got the money for any of it.
They did the update for Xenoblade. They updated it to 1.3, and it adds a new game plus, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's also pretty nice.
It also adds some new blades that you can recruit, but some of those blades are only available in New Game Plus. So,
well, that's weird.
I mean, I guess... I don't know. It is a little strange. You can't just add them in, but I don't know. Maybe there's like some sort of programming issue to where they had to start a new file fresh in order to access. Or maybe they just want you to play the game again. Spend another 140 hours in this game.
I mean, how many hours are you in right now?
180.
God. 180. Damn!
But I'm doing a lot of... I'm maxing out a lot of blades.
God, dude.
So, what I'm going to do...
That's like me in Skyrim. What the hell is wrong with you?
So, what I'm going to do over the next couple months, I'm just going to, like, max out a few blades a month until I max them all out. And then probably 2019, start up the new game file. Like, I'm going to take a nice long break. Because there are a lot of cool things carry over. Like your accessories. You don't... When you start a new game, you don't start with your blades all there available for you. You have to unlock them again. But when you do unlock them, their affinity chart, their sphere grid is already where you left it. So if I have all these maxed out sphere grids, well, as soon as I get these reacquire these blades, they'll just be maxed out, which is fun.
Wow.
You keep your levels.
So what's the point of New Game Plus? Keep your levels and...
Just if you want to go through on God mode. Just you I think you keep your equipment, like your accessories.
Still, unlike in a game, I don't see the point in New Game Plus, because it's just going to be a giant breeze.
God knows, yeah.
A waste of time.
All the things that made you frustrated before, just kill them. Just kill them easily.
God, it just seems like a waste of time. New Game Plus is always one of those things that... Like, I think Dark Souls... Again, I'm referencing Dark Souls. Suck it. Did the New Game Plus best, because... In New Game Plus, the enemies have more health. I think they hit you a little harder.
Okay.
And the more successive New Game Pluses you do, the tougher they get. Like, it does max out eventually. Like, you'll be like New Game Plus 15, and 7 is where it maxes out, for instance. But there actually is significant growth in it.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the New Game Plus in Resident Evil 4. You know, sometimes it's just fun to go through, like, okay, now I'm going to just use my handgun.
Well, I mean, that's a little different.
Well, the thing
is... Because that's a lot of...
Because in Xenoblade 2, like, if it felt like it, I'm going to go through, I'm only going to use Earth Elemental Blaze. I don't know why you would do that, but you could. Anyway.
I'm excited about... Like, Zelda would be nice to do kind of a New Game Plus. Just start with all your stamina, all your hearts, whatever weapon you got.
Yeah. You just might be able to jump off the Great Plateau and live.
If you have all your hearts. Immediately just go. Just go. But Zelda, same. It's going to be like 2019. I'll start out my master mode. Like,
yes.
And I can't wait for that either.
which is fine. Like, it's actually been really fun the past couple months or so. Like, actually being able to replay games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something that I hadn't done in a long time, because I'd always focused on, like, okay, what's the new thing coming out? Got to play the new thing. I'm less focused on that now.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm going to get back into a Zelda run, which I got off the Great Plateau, took a couple weeks off, and I'm going to tinker with it again a little bit, probably get over to Hateno, and then take a few more weeks off, you know? Just kind of slowly go through it, which is not something I've been focused on.
Yeah, you just don't replay games. I replay the crap out of games.
But I'm gonna. I probably won't replay the crap out of it.
Oh no, this Zelda's gonna be like 6 runs. Like it's gonna be something crazy. Then I'm just gonna. Just now and then, I'm bored of all of what I'm playing. Let's go start up another round of Zelda, like Skyrim was for me.
Good.
Oh, it's gonna be so good.
Some other new releases: Bayonetta 1 and 2 came out on the 16th.
That's another one I gotta pick up. I don't have money for this, John.
I was to tell you, another job. Get 2 jobs.
Oh,
then you'll never have the time to actually play them.
Nope.
Faye came out on the 16th. On the 22nd. Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 Plus came out, as well as SteamWorld Dig 2 for the 3DS, which is pretty cool. Tokitori 2 and Typo Man, those are both Wii U games. I don't think they're exclusive Wii U games, but they're...
No, I got Typo Man on my PlayStation.
Okay.
It's actually not bad. It's a fun game. It's short.
I played the demo, and I was like, yeah, I think that's all I need to get out of this game.
It's fine. It's a little...
Okay. The Mario Odyssey update came out on the 23rd, and this is the update for that the Luigi's Balloon World thing,
mm-hmm.
where you go online, you hide a balloon somewhere in a level, and then other people can sort of like take on your challenge and try to find your balloon. And immediately, people were finding like glitches in the game to like hide balloons in impossible locations, and it's a way of farming coins, which, I mean, okay. Of course people found out how to do it, but apparently like it was pretty rampant. Like it was harder to find legit balloons. Like, how do I want to phrase this? It was harder to find people posting levels of legitimately hidden balloons as opposed to people hiding balloons that are impossible to get. So it kind of ruins the fun when fucking everybody is hiding impossible balloons.
Golly.
Yeah. And then Payday 2 came out on the 27th. I wish Ryan were here to shit on Payday 2 a little bit more.
Because, you know, we know he's a giant fan of that one.
Oh, God, it's so funny, though. It's so...
I just laugh about picturing his friend sitting there and be like, all right, what job should we get Ryan to do? Well, he's the new guy, right? He's never played before? No. Make him watch the fucking cameras.
Let's have him do the least fun thing.
He's the getaway driver. Like, it's just
let's
stay in the car, Ryan.
Let's have the newest person do the least fun thing. Come on, that's just being real shitty. All right, that's it for new releases. Let's take one more break and come back with games coming out in March.
Yeah.
So we got a bunch of games coming out in March. Some of these are already out because we're recording on March 2nd here. We're going to go through as many as quickly as possible. We usually read a few Nintendo.com entries because they're hilarious. Just 2 for this month, though. The rest are just kind of breeze through here real quick because we're already about an hour in. So Moolaka came out on the 1st. This one is a N64 style, like polygonal action platformer.
See, you said that name, and
Moolaka.
Yeah. Lion King.
Yep.
Say it again. Mufasa.
Mulaka.
Mulaka.
This one actually does have a cool visual style. It kind of looks like...
The Lion King?
No, like Guacamelee. If Guacamelee were like a 3D platformer. All right. Not quite as like bombastic and colorful, but like has a similar like...
Bombastic?
Yeah. Not as like in your face and flamboyant. So another game. This one also came out on March 1st. A Normal Lost Phone. Now, I'm not exactly...
Sounds riveting.
I'm not exactly sure what this game is, because I watched a trailer, and I'm still not sure what this game is. Like, I'm not exactly sure what the game, like, the actual gameplay is.
The trailer did its job.
Yeah, it is. I watched a trailer for a bunch of these games, and a lot of trailers do not do their job. Like, it's disturbing how little gameplay you actually see in trailers.
Oh, yeah.
So, a Normal Lost Phone, like... Well, let me see if I can at least describe the idea that they're going for. It's like a mystery game where the character you're playing as finds someone's phone, and what you do is you go through their phone, I guess, to try to figure out whose it is or what happened to them. And it's a really interesting idea, but I don't know if the game is anything more than you like going through like their apps and... like spying on them. I don't even know if this is like qualifies as an actual game.
It sounds really creepy.
Like, I don't know what the actual like game part to this, other than like flip through their phone. Like,
that's pretty creepy.
I'm not sure. Like, but it's at least like a game where if like I pass it by in the eShop, I'm like, oh yeah, that. Huh. I wonder what that's like, and I'll probably move on. No, it's a concept that is at least interesting. But I don't think they did a very good job of like selling me the idea with the trailer that they had. Totes the Goat is coming out on March 1st.
You were shitting me on that name.
Totes the Goat. And then this is a game from
Atelier. Because, you know, fuck it, why not?
This is a game from the developer Atui, who developed games such as Mutant Muds and Zeo Drifter, which we talked about on the Wii U and 3DS. And I was a bit worried when I saw that Atui was the developer, because like their games are usually fine, but not stellar. But the gameplay with this one actually looks kind of fun. I'm not exactly sure. Like, I've never played Qbert, so I don't know how that game actually works. But it looks like that, in that you're on this like sort of pyramidish grid, and you have to hop around from square to square, up and down this sort of like mountain thing, and the object is just to touch all the squares, and they'll change color as you touch them, kind of like in a sort of like Zelda type puzzle. And you know, there are things in your way and enemies, but you know, you just touch all the squares and then you bounce off into the next one. So it's more of like a navigational puzzle. And I think this one's like $5. And there are different like collectibles and enemies and terrain hazards. You know, for $5, it might be an interesting one to tinker with, depending on how much content is in it. Like,
yeah,
if it were like 50 levels cost $5, it'll take 2 hours to play through. I'm like, yeah, I might give this a shot. Plus, it's got a really fun name. Totes the Goat.
Totes the Goat.
It sticks with you. You want to say it over and over again. Well done to them on that. Damascus Gear Tokyo Operation came out on the 1st.
What are these names on
Damascus
Switch now?
Gear Operation Damascus Gear : Operation Tokyo.
What are these names?
This is a mech hack and slash game. I think it was originally on
Vita. The Switch is turning into the Wii. Just
no, the Switch, when it comes to indies anyway, is the Vita. The Switch is the Vita with actual, like...
Oh, my God.
With more developer support.
I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
I mean, it's a good thing, like, because the Vita, like, had a very...
Nobody's going to take it seriously.
The thing is, like, the Vita had a very viable indie game environment, because people bought a lot of indie games on Vita, like... People who owned Vitas bought a lot of games. Like, they wanted to play games on the Vita, and good for them. Switch, but the Vita's problem ultimately was Sony wasn't interested in making games for it, so no other bigger developers were interested in making games for it.
I think it was nothing but indie games.
Right. Now, the difference is that Nintendo is going to be far more invested in Switch than Sony ever was in Vita. Mm-hmm. Because for Nintendo right now, it the Switch is the whole thing. Switch is everything.
Yep.
Whereas Vita is kind of an afterthought to the PlayStation
3DS 3, 4. Is kind of winding down.
Well, here's the thing with 3DS. They say they're going to continue to support it. But to Nintendo, continuing to support the 3DS might not mean anything more than we're going to keep making them. Mm-hmm. That might be their idea of supporting the 3DS.
I mean, they do have a gigantic library that people can still tap into.
True.
Tons of online, really great, physical. I mean, it's fantastic what you can still do with it.
Tons of great 3DS games. And again, when Nintendo, I think we might have mentioned this before, when Nintendo reported 3DS units sold for 2017, they sold more than they did in 2016. Like, the market grew. Despite their best efforts, more people bought 3DSs in 2017 than 2016.
Now, were they legitimate 3DSs, or were they that new 2DS?
That
thing was fantastic.
They calculated as the family of systems, but I think the most viable iteration of the 3DS is the new 3DS XL. I think that's the primary unit.
Huh.
But that orange and white 2DS, I've given some thought to getting it because it looks awesome. But anyway, I think about getting it. But that's 4 Switch games. So maybe I don't. Maybe I don't need it. What were we even saying? I don't remember.
We were going through.
Oh, we're up to
Damascus. Tokyo.
Well, because we were talking about the Vita, and Nintendo is going to keep on making games for Switch, so that will on that fact alone, it's more viable than a Vita. And because Nintendo is doing it, other people will keep making games for it as well. But I think part of the Vita's major problem is that Sony wasn't even interested in making games for it. And if Sony's not going to set an example and show that the Vita is a viable market for experiences larger than an indie game, why is Capcom going to follow along,
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Damascus Gear Operations Tokyo is a mech hack and slash game with customizable gear like you would get in a mech type game.
Pretty cool though.
Yeah, it's got this dystopian cyberpunk style, and I like the style.
All right, I'm looking it up now. You got me intrigued on it.
But I think that like a lot of hack and slash games, I worry that this one is just going to get repetitive, like a beat 'em up,
Yeah, I can see that. Being repetitive.
And it's not a criticism trying to lob at this game in particular. How is a mech hack and slash game? You're going to do the same things over and over again. It's just a symptom of the sort of genre it's in. The hack and slash game is a sort of evolution of the beat 'em up, which just by the very nature of the mechanics
can get repetitive. A game like this, and it's only $14.99, so it's not going to be...
Sure. Yeah,
You're not getting
I didn't get 60 hours out of this game and I paid $15 for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be outraged by that.
Tiny Metal's almost enough, too. That's almost worth it for Tiny Metal, but not quite.
I played Tiny Metal after they did the update, which was supposed to improve some interface stuff. It didn't help much. I really want to like Tiny Metal because I want to have an Advance Wars Tactics style game. But Tiny Metal just misses the mark. Hopefully that game's Wargroove, which is more of a medieval-themed Advance Wars style game. Not so much Fire Emblem, because it's not an RPG, but you have the expendable units that you build. Hopefully that will be a bit better, because Tiny Metal... I wish it was good. I wish that was a good game. It's not. It's not great. It's okay. But is it actually okay, or do we just really want it to be okay?
Or it could be better than what it actually is, but since it's your disappointment in not being
Advance Wars... Oh, maybe my expectations are too high.
Yeah, maybe. So it's knocking it down.
Yeah, that could be it. I hope so. Hopefully people, if somebody bought that game, I hope they like it. Because I don't like...
That's the spirit.
I don't want people to buy a game and be disappointed in it like I was. Detention... Also came out on March the 1st. This is a horror adventure game in, the vein of a point and click, which seems to be becoming sort of a dime a dozen on the Switch at this point, between this and The Fall and
Resident Evil, some.
Well, Resident Evil, not exactly the point. But like, I just want like strictly like adventure style games. There's a bunch of them.
Okay.
Kate Must Die is like one that was announced as coming out. And anyway, but this one like
Hello Neighbor kind of.
Which one?
Hello Neighbor. It's gonna be coming out.
Okay. I haven't heard of that. I don't know much about that one. It's
I only heard about it briefly. I haven't really seen much. It's just we sell it for the Xbox at Target. And a coworker of mine told me a little about it. Apparently, like, you're trying to find out what your neighbor is doing, and it grows smarter based on way you do things.
It's like a retail game?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
We sell the actual disc in the store. And so, like, you find out more what this guy is doing in his basements and stuff like that, and it gets, like, creepier and creepier.
Like Rear Window or The Burbs?
Like, there's like, a picture I saw, and he's got, like, this, you know, like, an apron on. There's blood on it. You know, things like that.
You remember that movie, The Burbs?
I didn't actually see that one.
Oh, man, that movie's so fun. No one has
that's a weird pause.
No one else in the world has seen this movie. Like, no matter how many times, like, I mentioned The Burbs, B-U-R-B-S, as in suburbs, to anyone. Like, no one knows. Like, this is, like, Tom Hanks when he did comedies. So this was before, like, Philadelphia.
Yeah, we sell it in, like, a DVD pack. It comes with, like, The Burbs and Big and something else. I forget what.
Okay. Yeah, he definitely has more popular comedy movies. But that's Corey Feldman, which is great. But anyway, we're getting way off track.
Whatever. Here. Back to the thing.
Scribblenauts. Detention. I just want to mention, like, it almost has, like, this, like, paper cutout sort of art style to it. So art style, it does distinguish it a little bit from other, like, horror games that are, because, like, the Fall is very, like, futuristic sci-fi and also very dark. Detention doesn't, like isn't, it is totally dark, but not visually dark. It's just, like drab with muted colors. But, and then, like, and the animations are intentionally very stiff. Like a South Park character moving around. I keep making that reference. But anyway, Scribblenaut Showdown coming out on the Switch on March the 6th.
Hooray. I've held it in my hands.
I've heard that it's like leaking out early.
Well, no, it's not leaking out early. It's just, you know, we got it already because we get the games. We can't put them on the shelves until the release date.
Oh, okay,
they're sell by. Mm-hmm. There's a sell date, so we can't put it out. But it's come in already, so I've held it in my hand. I looked at the box, not through, because I can't open the shit. But, you know, I was holding this. I'm like, oh my god, it's come on. It's Scribblenauts, oh my god.
It sure is Scribblenauts.
What?
See, here's the thing, is we've praised Scribblenauts, especially like Super Scribblenauts. I think that's where like where the game got the most praise this series. But that series has not evolved at all.
No, and really how can it evolve based on that kind of concept?
Right.
It's just more puzzles and
get
a little bit more things that you can do with it now.
I don't know.
It's got co-op.
Okay.
We can do some co-op.
You're excited, and I don't want to take it away from you.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Get Scribblenauts.
It's Scribblenauts, man. I'm not trying to tell you that. All of the Scribblenauts.
Did we play Scribblenauts Unmasked?
Oh, shit. We didn't, did we?
Nope, sure didn't.
Oh, shit. But we played 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. I'm maybe there's more. I don't know. Are you going to buy it?
Right away.
Okay. Well, if you buy it, we'll play it.
There's so many other games.
There sure are. Yes. One of those games is also coming out on the 6th. It is called Fear Effect Sedna. And this game, again, what a weird name. But it's really intriguing because I was actually watching some video and reading about this game. It's based on a series that's only had 2 installments so far, but it's been dormant for a long time. I think it was Eidos who originally had the series, and of course, I think it got bought out by Square Enix. I think it was when they were, I think they might have been shutting down, and Square Enix just bought out whatever they had left. And Square Enix had like this initiative a while back where they just allowed people to pitch games in series that they owned but had been dormant for a long time. And I think this was one of them, and it's actually getting made. So, I'm actually getting a really strong, like, Metal Gear Solid 1 vibe from the game in terms of, like, the perspective and the action that you're in, because there's like shooting elements and then some stealth elements to it, but there's also like these like slide puzzle looking things where, you know, you have to interact with this like this electrical panel, but you like the power isn't connected all the way, so you have to slide things around in order to get power moving, like typical things that you see in these sort of games. So there's like point and click adventure type elements to it as well, and this is really like a nice like cell shaded or almost rotoscoped art style to it. So this one is an interesting looking game coming out on the eShop. There are other things that are to be higher priority for me personally, but this game will at least like get a spot on the wish list for a little while. Kirby Star Allies, here we go.
All right, let me get it out.
Let's hear Nintendo's pitch for Kirby Star Allies coming out on March the 16th.
Unique New York.
All right. The Pink Puff is back in HD, and he's not alone.
Oh, shit. You like the voice?
Yeah,
that's good. Like, kind of creepy.
Kirby is back, and he's finally on the Nintendo Switch console in HD.
Finally. It's only been a year.
It's only been out a year. But this time, he's not alone.
Was that like the full title just repeated?
Yes, I think it is.
Delightful.
Oh, no, it tweaked a little bit.
Oh, okay. They changed some words around. Oh, God. Then have a dangling participle.
Recruit enemies by hitting them with hearts and gather helpers for a party of up to 4 characters. On top of that, you can join with up to 3 friends for a different kind of team-up in action. 3 friends.
Yep.
I need to hit this read more button. Features! Bullet points.
Oh, I'm so excited.
The newest Kirby title comes to the Nintendo Switch console in HD.
That's not a feature! That's what it is! Son of a bitch.
Recruit up to 3 enemies as helpers by hitting them with hearts.
Okay.
Returning copy abilities include Sword, Fire, Water, Bomb, Broom, and many more.
Broom?
Broom.
Oh.
Sounds intimidating.
More,
you say? Imbue copy abilities with different elements such as wind, water, fire, and electricity by borrowing or giving them to helpers to add more attack power. Unleash powerful attacks or solve puzzles.
You have to pick one.
You can't do both.
Pick one.
Not allowed.
Powers or puzzles, sir. I mean, it's kind of cool, like, the sort of combinations that they're doing. So, you know, if somebody's got a sword, you can, like, give it electricity. Now you got an electric sword.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Up to 4 players can join in with a horizontal Joy-Con controller configuration, or 8 Joy-Con with 4 Joy-Con grips.
Or
that sounds too complex.
Or 6 Joy-Con with 3 Joy-Con grips and 1 Pro Controller. Or 2 Pro Controllers, 4 Joy-Con.
Oh, God damn it. The possibilities are endless.
Well, not endless. There is an end.
Ah, crap. I think it just closed. Yeah, it did.
Which one?
I closed the next game I'm going to read.
Okay. Was that the end of Kirby?
That was it for there, Kirby.
Cool. I have 2 controllers, 2 Joy-Cons, 1 Joy-Con grip, and a Pro Controller. Ooh. And I'm really looking forward to playing through with Ripley. Because I think like she's gotten to the point where she can understand this sort of game pretty easily. Because, you know, she caught on to like Mario Odyssey pretty well. So like a 2D side-scroller, especially a Kirby, which are not in games intended to give you much resistance, should be a pretty fun one to go through with her. So I hope that she gets into it. Like, I'm sure she can handle a 2D platformer. And I'm just like, I'm hopefully like the bright colors and fun music will keep her interested for a little while. So yeah, looking forward to trying this one out. Splatoon 2 Starter Edition is also coming out on the same day, on the 16th. Same price as the first edition of Switch with more stuff. They did the same thing with Zelda, where you get the game, like a strategy guide for the same price. I think you like some stickers or some shit. I'm not exactly sure what a strategy guide for Splatoon looks like. It's probably going to have like a lot of single player stuff in it, like where collectibles are, and, like maybe some like maps for the multiplayer stuff, but I don't know. It's not Xenoblade or Zelda, where there's a lot to unpack there. Like, it's supposed to be like a 100-page strategy guide. Like, I'm impressed that they found 100 pages worth of strategy. Got to be a lot of maps. It's got to be something. Anyway, but it's not like you're paying extra for it either. It's the same price as the regular game. So, Attack on Titan 2 is coming to the Switch on March the 20th. And I watched a one gameplay trailer for this the other day. And
how'd it look?
It looked bad. Like, really bad. Like,
it's a game based on an anime, or it's just like all those other games are based on movies, or
it was of course like a Titan, and the Titan was trapped in a corner. And I think the whole like thing with the games is that, you know, you get to use like those little like waist grappling things to like sling around like Spider-Man, and then you like run up to them and slash them in their weak spots with your sword. And this game was pretty much like the person, like whoever was playing, like got trapped on the ground and would have to like very weakly like launch themselves and slash over and over again. Like, this does not look fun. However, I did watch another trailer just today, a combat trailer actually put out by Tecmo Koei, who is publishing this game, where someone who actually knew what they were doing, and it looked a little bit more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Still not great, but I didn't come away like, ooh, that looks terrible. Like, I watched like the combat trailer. Like, okay, it looks like if you know what you're doing, you should be able to have some fun with this. Which is, I guess, the purpose of a trailer. To show gameplay and how it can be fun.
How to actually play the game.
Yeah.
If this is going to be something you're interested in or not.
But we got a 3DS game.
Oh, we do.
It's Detective Pikachu.
Oh, my God.
Coming to the 3DS on March the 23rd.
Oh, my God. All right, here we go.
Yep.
Crack the case in this new detective adventure game by interacting with a unique, fully voiced Pikachu.
That's the title, yes?
That is the headline.
Okay, headline.
As Tim Goodman, brother to John, you'll partner with a self-proclaimed...
Tim Goodman, Tim John.
You'll partner with a self-proclaimed great detective, in parentheses...
Bendis Goodman.
No, quotation marks. Pikachu to solve strange occurrences all over Rhyme City. Together, you must investigate, take notes, and meet up with other Pokemon to unravel the city's greatest mysteries.
Mm.
Tim is searching for his missing father in Rhyme City. He knows where his brother is. He's making clover fields.
So no, Pokemon games have taught us that there are no fathers. They're not there.
They're not there. They're just not
except in Hoenn for some reason.
Yeah, they're like the Gerudo. They just don't see fathers anywhere.
Right.
But instead encounters a witty, tough-talking Pikachu... Along the way, experiences over 150 fun-filled anime cutscenes starring this unique Pikachu, providing helpful hints or talking up a storm. You can also tap the extra-large Detective Pikachu Amiibo figure to access all cutscenes up until the current chapter played. As you investigate crime scenes, gather testimonies, uncover information, and interact with Pokemon to solve cases. You have to put your detective skills to the test to foil the mastermind behind the disturbances in Rhyme City. All in the day's work for Detective Pikachu. So you need to buy an amiibo to rewatch what you've already watched.
Yeah, that struck me as a little
what
odd.
What the fuck?
That can't be.
Instead of just having it like an option. Like, oh, let's go rewatch
this. Let's like, go like to the theater. Like that's usually like a thing in games. You just rewatch. Yeah. That would be really odd if that would not be cool if that were the actual case. I'm gonna pay attention when this game releases to see if that's actually like
you can't
rewatch these unless you use the amiibo. Now, I do think that the game this game will initially launch like with the amiibo. I think comes as a pack in.
Oh,
but what if you buy it digitally?
I have 4 bullet points.
Oh, bullet points.
I got 4 bullet points. Team up with Self. What? Wait.
Team up with Self.
Team up with Self, the proclaimed great detective Pikachu. What the hell?
Is that an actual typo?
Team up with Self, the proclaimed great detective Pikachu.
Oh my God. No, you know, I was going to say, when we got to the end of this one, this one was actually going really well. But they just mixed up the words there. That's okay.
That's difficult to say.
Come on, guys. No, that's because that's wrong, because it's not the way you say things. Team up with the self-proclaimed, not team up with Self the Proclaimed. Like, that's
no,
not...
team up with Self the Proclaimed.
Right, that's not how you're supposed to say that. Like, that's what's written. That's just not the
how
phrase.
How are you supposed to say it?
Team up with the self-proclaimed.
Oh, so they switched the and Self.
They did.
All right. I can't words.
So,
words.
No, that wasn't your fault.
I'm not an English teacher.
experience over 150 animated cutscenes of a fun and witty talking Pikachu. Dear God!
With the amiibo.
150 cutscenes? Oh, yeah. Even I think that's excessive.
That is excessive.
Dear God!
No, that's what the movie is going to be. They're just going to show all 150 cutscenes.
That's it! But it's going to be weird, you know, to play the game and then watch the movie and it's Ryan Reynolds and not some other...
You got to bring your amiibo to get a ticket.
Oh my God. Investigate the scene, take notes, and crack the case. What the...
That's not a feature. That's what you do.
Interact with various Pokemon throughout Rhyme City. And that's where they ended.
Okay.
Like, this got to the point where they're like, do we need bullet points? Where all of our other ones have bullet points. Or we'll make it something up.
Okay.
Well, what the hell did I just
say? Coming on the 23rd. I'm good. Are you good? I don't need to play this game. It's fine. I'm sure people are going to play this game. I'm sure there are going to be people who like it. That's cool. Good for
me. I mean, yeah. 150 cutscenes? I love story. I love cutscenes. But that's excessive.
Like, the game is like 3 hours or something.
Like, holy shit. No, the game's 8 hours long. 7 of that is cutscenes. Mm. I mean...
Is this a franchise now? Like, there's a movie coming out. Is this Detective Pikachu a franchise? Oh, I think it might be.
God. It's going to be Detective Pikachu and then... God, how do I want it? Gang Leader Squirtle.
He does have a gang.
It's going to be like a Grand Theft Auto, except you're a Squirtle.
Don Bulbasaur.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Constable Charmander. Anyway, so Castle of Heart is also coming. Well, this one's coming to the Switch on March the 23rd. This one...
Now, is the castle made out of a heart? Is it a castle in a heart?
This is more of like a medieval side-scrolling action game. Think about like Castlevania before Symphony of the Night, where...
You say these things, but I know so little about Castlevania.
All right, hang on a second. Think of... think of Vector Man, except as an action... I don't... Castlevania is my touch point here. I don't know how else to help you.
No, you're good. You're good.
It's a side-scrolling action game... except it's like it's medieval, and you're playing as a knight with a sword. It does have some nice looking medieval environments. I'm not so sure about this one though. It is like a pure action game, like a brawler, but the animations seem kind of stiff and unwieldy.
Like Castlevania.
Like early Castlevania, sure. That's a fair comparison. I'm hoping this one controls well. This one's going to be so low on the priority list. I don't know if I'm interested at all in this one. I don't think that the combat, because it looks so stiff, I don't think it looks particularly fun. So, I don't know if I have hopes for this one at all. But, The Alliance Alive is coming to the 3DS, another 3DS game.
Yeah!
On March the 27th, I tried the demo. There's a demo for this one. And... this one is from the same developer that did Legend of Legacy, the game we talked about a couple years back on the 3DS. You remember that one?
You mean the Legacy of the Legend?
Chronicles of Lineage. That's what we call that one. So,
still makes me laugh.
And it is a similar game in terms of the level up mechanic. Where it's very much like a Saga game or Final Fantasy II, where the actions that you perform in battle and damage that you take are directly affecting the skills that you learn and the stat boosts that you get. So if you take a lot of damage, it seems like you're going to be gaining more HP. The more you use a sword in battle, the more sword skills you will learn, the better you'll get with a sword. And there's different weapons that you can equip. It does seem to add some extra layers to it because... there are, you do gain like skill points, and you can directly apply those to like passive skills that you just like a skill tree, like a tree of passive skills that you can assign points to. It doesn't seem to have like the same like Legend of Legacy had like this mapping feature where it will tell you like you've fully explored an area. It doesn't look like this game has that, which is fine. It's not a big deal. It's just a different flavor. But, like, Legend of Legacy was very much like this. intentionally counterintuitive, like deconstruction of the RPG genre, and it was really interesting. Which is why I'm interested in this one as well, to see what else they do with that sort of mentality, because this does seem to be continuing along with the same sensibilities of that game. And, you know, with so many RPGs coming out and so many, like, really long RPGs I've been playing recently, it's going to be interesting to go through a game that is, like Legend of Legacy, very intentionally, I guess, unfriendly in a way. Very, very, very counter to typical RPG, especially JRPG sensibilities. I look forward to boring you and Ryan with this one later on. And the last game. So the last game coming out March 27 is Atelier Liddy and Suel, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Painting. And I really wanted
What does Alchemist have a painting have to... What?
Oh, no, this series is weird. And I really wanted there to be a Nintendo.com description of this, because I'm sure it would just be bananas and ridiculous and bad.
It's like just an RPG, right?
Well, what this is, it's more of like a loot grinding RPG, because what you is you grind this loot into materials that you then...
It's Monster Hunter.
Yeah, sort of. Except this one's developed by a studio called Gust, and it's a studio that makes games for Tecmo Koei. And they are just like... If you could just distill the country of Japan into a series of ones and zeros, it would be an Atelier game. This guy, like, it's
I hope there's a demo.
Colorful.
I'm not gonna buy it, but I still would like to experience something of this.
And it's flamboyant, and it's grindy as shit. Yeah, these games.
This looks super funky.
Yeah, these games are ridiculous and weird, and I wish that Nintendo had a description, because it would be almost equally ridiculous and weird. But anyway, that's it for this week. That's the end of the official show.
Yeah.
Next week is the Pokemon show.
Ooh.
Which...
Do we have a game brewing, or...?
Yeah, I'll probably do a Who's That Pokemon, because there's not a whole lot else going on in the world of Pokemon right now, so... Well, we'll do a
game. I'm sure Ryan would like to dive more into
maybe.
Ultra Sun and crap.
Maybe we'll do a ranking. We'll do a ranking instead
of
a game.
What kind of ranking you want to do?
Doesn't matter. What have we done recently? I think we just did,
Do we want to do a type ranking again?
We don't have to.
Like, again?
No, we don't have to do a type ranking. We do, like, a ranking of the Pokemon with thumbs. I don't know. But we'll come
top
up with...
Top five Pokemon we wish were useful.
Or,
Because that would be a personal ranking list. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong.
Yeah, that's not
like,
a bad
this
idea.
Is a game that this is a guy I really want to use, but he's shit.
Going off of your idea, what about, like, one forms.
Rank the one forms?
Yeah. Or not, we don't necessarily have to rank them, just like personal favorites.
Okay, so just say our personal favorites?
Sure.
Let's go through some of our personal?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, again.
We'll figure it out. We'll do something.
We'll do something like this. One form's not a bad idea. There's not a lot of one forms left, though.
It's true.
Because a lot of the one forms they gave other forms to.
Maybe that's what we do. Like we each pick five one forms that we think deserve another form.
Oh, all right.
And that might just cover all the one forms left.
Well, at the same time there, I mean, Pinsir, he has another form. Would he fall under that category?
Because
now he has a Mega?
No, because it's a Mega. That wouldn't
count. Okay, that wouldn't count.
Because, I don't know, do you think Megas stick around in the series for much longer? Like,
I mean, they're not in Ultra, and they're not in Sun.
Oh, they're not?
Are they not in Ultra?
I don't know.
I mean, they're not in Sun.
Hmm. Like, there's no way to access Mega forms? That's
not to my knowledge in Sun.
Actually got Z moves instead.
Z moves, and you don't have the crystal crap.
Yeah, Mega Forms might be just a thing
you
like,
don't have
happened.
Any meth in order to do that.
Indeed.
That's essentially what it is. It's a giant meth trip.
But anyway, we don't need to go into it too much, because it's Pokemon stuff. This is the official show, damn it.
Yeah.
And then after the Pokemon show is the mini show, then the Nintendo show 64, and then we'll wrap it all up at the end of the month with
mini
another
show.
Official
I'm
going to
be discussing Portal.
Oh, good.
Because Ryan gave me hell about it last time.
You
so I was like, fine, let's play it.
You should never play Portal. Just out of spite.
Just out of spite. So, you know, hopefully I get a little bit more done in Portal.
Okay.
It's so far it is It's simple because I just started it yesterday, but it's funny. Like, there's just this voice in the background walking me through it, and it's just funny shit.
Okay. I actually have a couple of Wii U games that I'll bring up during the mini show.
What?
Well, Nintendo does every so often, they'll allow you to redeem gold coins for games, like eShop games, which is something that, like, once they start, like, allowing you to use it as actual money, will probably go away. But I got Year Walk, which is like an adventure horror game, because talking about those all the time, that I got for a few gold coins. And there was another one, and the name of it escapes me. I think it might have been The Bridge, which is another, like,
very riveting name.
Yeah.
Well, I'm intrigued.
It's another adventure horror game. They're just fucking everywhere.
Golly, dude.
Yeah. But that one was like when I went to redeem the gold coins for Year Walk, I noticed that game was like $3.50, and it was on my wish list. I was like, yeah, might as well. And they're both very short games. Like, they both take a few hours to get through, like 2 or 3 hours. So hopefully just knock those out over a couple of days and report back on a couple of games that are not Xenoblade or Zelda.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
I also got Pit People that I can talk about.
Okay.
From Ryan's recommendation. Just add spreading. A couple of things. Mm. It's not bad.
Okay.
It's a little funky.
I'm sure Ryan will talk about Diablo or something.
Dear God.
But Diablo and basketball.
I mean, seriously, you give me so much shit about mentioning Dark Souls and Skyrim, but nothing on... He just let Ryan go with Diablo.
Oh, no, we're breaking through the coals today. He's not here. He does listen to this podcast, though.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He totally heard your impression. That was all Wes, by the way. Like, Wes was
the only one to... Oh, you D-bag. How did I do two different voices at the same time?
I'm very skilled at editing. That was both you. All right, but that's the end. Until next time, everybody.
So long.